Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Everybody have a good week this week? Praise the Lord. Anybody in here know Jesus?
Yeah.
Oh boy, there we got a good okay. Praise the Lord. Aren't we glad we know Jesus?
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad I know Jesus. Wow. Yeah, God cares about everything. And let me tell you for sure, He definitely knows when you're lying or when you're telling the truth. And in fact, I'll tell you one on about lying and how critical it is when He says He hates liars. I know one time, one afternoon, Cheryl got up, and I don't know what time it was, about 3 or 4 o'clock, I guess, when she's coming in there, and she says, "Have you eaten today?" And I says, "No, I have not eaten today." That's the terminology I use. And immediately the Holy Spirit told me, said, "You just lied to your wife." And I thought, "Lord, I didn't lie to my wife. I haven't had lunch. It's 3 or 4 o'clock and I haven't had lunch." He said, "That's not what she asked you. What did she ask me? Have I eaten today?" Now then, when I stopped and thought about that, I thought, well, I did have a bowl of cereal this morning, you know, for breakfast. But I guess that's not eating today, right? I mean, is God right and I'm wrong? Yes, of course. He's always right and I'm wrong. He said, "You lied to your wife." And so now, if God says in His word, He hates liars, you know, I mean, so you just tell a little white lie or a little black lie or a little pink lie or whatever kind of color you want to call it. Does God hate lying?
Yes.
That's what He said. He don't want no lying of no kind. So He knew, the Spirit of God knew that if I lied to my wife, I'm going to open the door to me or her one for some kind of problem. And I don't want that, and she don't want that. But I never dreamed that when He says, you know, I one thing that did to me, it made me a little more cautious when somebody says something. If I'm over here and you're driving down the road in your car and I'm having trouble, and you, some of you may experience this as you get older. I can sit in a car and listen to a man talk to me and I have no problem hearing his voice. But when a woman gets in the car with her little light voice, not just Cheryl, but any of you, and you're talking to me, if all of a sudden you're saying things and I've got to answer you or be right, if I lean over the podium to the close to you, I'm wanting to hear what you say. Because, you know, when I was younger, I could hear a whole lot better than I can now. And I still hear men okay, but women, I have a problem hearing those little light voices. Now, let me ask y'all a question. I remember, God hates liars? Is there any of you women in here ever have a trouble with your husband, especially if he's over 50 or 60? Okay, some of you, okay, so there's other women in here got the same problem besides mine, huh? So when your husband is, when you talk to him, sometimes he doesn't hear you. Is that right? And I guess that's just a thing about men, because, you know, there's times me and Cheryl will be driving down the road, and we don't do this much anymore, but when we first got married, we'd be driving down the road, and I don't hear her talking. I'm sitting there looking out the window, and the roar from the tires and all this stuff, and all of a sudden she says, "Hey, honey." And I look around, and I said, "Yeah." She said, "What did I say?" I said, "You didn't say nothing. I didn't hear you say nothing. I've been talking for you for the last 10 minutes, and you didn't hear a word I said?" "No, I didn't hear a word you said." So she said, "Well, I'm going to talk again." And she starts talking again, and I leaned over the center and put my ear right over. She said, "What are you getting so close for?" I said, "I want to hear what you're saying." Those are just things that happen. And the Holy Spirit, just like whenever He told me that time about when Cheryl asked me, "Have you had anything to eat today?" Or she said, "Have you eaten today?" And when she said, "Have you eaten today?" That means, have I eaten today? Not lunch, but I just assume she meant that I had lunch, because she hadn't had lunch and it's 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. So when I says, "No, I have not eaten," I'm thinking in my mind, I've not had lunch. But the Lord, when He spoke to me clearly and said, "You just lied to your wife." Now, and God doesn't like lying. So He doesn't want you to lie to your wife. He doesn't want you to. In fact, if some of y'all remember about lying and deception, the little girl out there on the picture, little Jenna. And some of you have seen those pictures, some of you hadn't. But when you leave today, look at the, as you go through the doorway, look at the pictures on the right. Those are all the pictures that we had of this little girl when her mother had lied and deceived her husband. Now, I want to tell you that story too right quick. Just think, a woman, a 39-year-old woman, she wants to have one more baby before she gets too old to have children. So she goes to her husband and said, "Honey, let's have one more baby before we get too old to have children." He said, "Honey, I'm 43 years old." And he says, "If we were to start trying to have a baby now, and if we had one, I might wind up with a teenager in high school with me in my 60s. And is that possible?"
Yes.
If he's already 43, he might be 44, 45 before they actually get pregnant. And then they're going to have 9 months, and then they're going to have a baby. And in another 15 years, he's definitely going to be in his 60s, isn't he? And you know, if there's anything most men don't want, you don't want a family, a little family, to have to train and buy cars for and pay everything when you get to be in 65 where you're supposed to retire. Most men dream of retiring at 65. Well, I got news for you guys. If you're a Christian, there ain't no retirement plan in the Word of God. He says, "Occupy till I come." So if you think about retiring, forget it. It's not part of the plan. God planned for you and me to work all of our life. And if you're not careful, if you do retire and quit doing anything for the kingdom, most of those men don't live very long. Do y'all seen that? They die early because they're not doing that. But anyway, this man and this woman, whenever we could not get that little girl healed. I mean, whenever they contacted us and they wanted us to pray over that little girl, we prayed over that little girl and we prayed over that little girl and we prayed over that little girl. We repented of sin. We forgave sin. We did everything. But never could we get that little girl healed. So finally, I told the mother and the daddy, I said, "Y'all are going to have to go to God. You're going to have to ask Him why He's not answering your prayer." And so they did. And they prayed for 3 weeks. And the Lord answered her and told her it was her lying and deception to her husband. Just think, who would ever dream that a little girl could be tormented like that little girl in those pictures out there, be so sick with oozing, running sores all over her body, and it was all because her mother had lied and deceived her husband? You know, most people don't believe that, do they? Most people never heard a story like that. But this is a real, true story. This happened to us right here at the Living Savior Ministries. After they went to God and the Lord told them, it was her lying and deception to her husband, because when her husband told her no, he didn't want any more children. So she said, "Okay, I will do everything I can to keep from getting pregnant." But she lied. Instead of doing everything she could to keep from getting pregnant, she did everything she could to get pregnant. And then when she got pregnant and she went to her husband and said, "Oh, honey, I was doing everything I could to keep from getting pregnant, but it must be the Lord's will for us to have another baby because I am pregnant." And obviously the master didn't like that lying and deception. So he struck that little girl with that terrible curse that you'll see all over her. And after the Lord spoke to the mother and told her what it was causing it, she asked her husband to forgive her of the sin. And then she asked the Lord to forgive her of sin. And when both of them forgave, then she called me and we prayed the prayer of faith. And in 2 weeks, that little girl didn't have a mark or a scar on her body. I mean, she was completely healed. And the pictures to the left is the little girl after she got healed. So, you know, whenever you have a problem or something going on in your own life, you know, the best thing to do is go to God, right? Go to God, ask Him what you've done. And of course, when you get into the 70s and 80s, according to the Word of God, there's going to be things that are going to come up on you. This is not really a testimony, but it is something to show you how easy it is to be deceived and drawn away. We had an email from a guy that was very interesting. He told me that he had seen me as a special messenger. I was going to be called a heavenly, and I was going to be able to see God do great and awesome things. Well, now, first of all, if you've already seen God do great and awesome things, and somebody contacts you and said, "I am a man of God, and God has showed me that you're going to be a heavenly, and you're going to see Him do great and wonderful things." Now, guess what? I'm listening, right? Because do I want to see God do great and mighty things? Oh, yes, I do. Do I love to see God do great and mighty things for His people? Yes, I do. So I'm listening. And so then the next day, after we wrote him back a couple of times on email, I called him and he said, "Call me." So I said, "Okay, send me a phone number." So the next day, that afternoon, I finally got where I could get to him. And I called him probably 3 or 4 o'clock that afternoon, and we were talking. He appeared to have revelation beyond anything I had seen. I know God can do that. I know he can do that. He can do anything he wants to. But then he made a statement to me, "I want you to know that the Lord can do anything." Do you know that, Thurman? I said, "Oh yeah, he can do anything. God, with God, nothing's impossible." I mean, is that scripture so far?
Yeah, it's scripture so far.
He said, "I want you to know that you're going to never die." I said, "Well, that's possible, because in John 8 and John 11, the scripture says, if I obey Jesus 100%, I will never die." I said, "So, okay." He said, "Yeah, you're never going to die." And he said, "Your wife is never going to die. You and her both are never going to die. You're going to live forever as a heavenly. You're going to be able to be translated all over the place." I thought, well, so far this discussion we're having is a little bit leaning toward the really supernatural side. He hadn't said anything really yet that I haven't agreed with. And then all of a sudden he says, "You also know that there's more to the book and more to God than the book." He said, "You know, God can do things he didn't write in the book." I said, "Sir, God limited himself on this earth to this book." I said, "The book and Jesus are one and the same." He said, "Oh, no." Now, see, up until now, I'm thinking about that little slithering beast. You know, y'all know where I'm talking about? It all sounded so great. I loved everything he said up to this point. But now then he's beginning to tell me things that God and the Word are not the same. They're not one. And that he said, I have personally seen God the Father. I said, "No, you haven't." I said, "The Word of God says no man has ever seen the Father at any time, and he never will." Now, who are you going to believe? But I've seen him, Thurman. And I'm telling you, all these things are going to happen. I said, "Sir, this conversation is ended." I said, "You have been deceived by the enemy." He said, no, you have been deceived, not me." Does the enemy do that to us? Did he do that to Adam and Eve? He's really slick, isn't he? He will do everything he can to deceive you and get you, because at first, boy, this conversation, I mean, when he's telling me the things he's telling me, they all sound really awesome. And, you know, I want to see great and mighty things. I've already seen God do great and mighty things. I know that he can do these kind of things for anybody. And I want to see him do greater and mightier things for people. And ain't nothing wrong with that, because God himself in the Word says, if I can believe with no doubt in my heart, I can speak to a mountain and the mountain will move. It'll obey me and nothing will be impossible with me. Is that what it says? That's what it says. But when you start telling me these other things and added things to it that does not agree with the Word, I've seen God the Father. Nobody's ever seen God the Father. Scripture says that, no man. And so you have to be really careful. And after hearing that testimony, or that man talk to me, when I did hang up the phone, I thought, "Okay, Lord, this is the things that you said was going to happen, that there was going to be false teachers and false prophets come into us at just before your return." I said, "So they are trying to deceive us every way, form, or fashion. If you don't really know the Word and one of these beasts, I believe this is a demon living inside of a man." Of course, I didn't see this guy, so I don't know. It might not have, I don't know. All I know is his message really was awesome at first, and it went over to a certain place. And then all of a sudden, when he started telling me, you know, that God is bigger than the book. God and the book is not the same. And if this really was the one, when I said, "Sir, you know that what you're doing is you're lying, and people that do that will go to hell." He said, "Oh, Thurman, that's something else too." He said, "God loves everybody. He made everybody, and nothing he ever made will he ever send to hell. So there is no such thing as hell." That's the biggest clue. Did Jesus talk a whole lot about hell in the Word? If Jesus talked about hell and he told you all those things, I'll tell you, you better believe the Word. Don't believe anybody else, you know, but be founded in the Word so you cannot be deceived in these last days. Because I believe the beast, after listening to that man and his sly talking for all, I must have talked to him 20 or 30 minutes before he got into something that was just so obvious that he's off the track. Just like Cheryl said when he told me, he said, oh, by the way, when I said something about people that lie will go to hell, he said, oh, by the way, that's something too. He said, God made everything, everybody, didn't he? And I said, oh, yeah, he made everybody. He said, there's nothing he would ever create that he would love that much that he would send to hell. I said, oh, yeah. He said, no, because there is no hell. There is no hell. There is no real devil. That's the lie that the devil's been trying to get you to believe forever. So don't believe it. It's not real. If you want to know, is the devil real? Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And if you want to know if demons are real, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You will find out that they're devils and they're demons and they're out there. And then if you want to find out how much power and authority you got over them, start with Romans and read all the way through the book of Revelations. And you'll find out that, behold, Jesus said, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and they shall in no wise hurt you. You need to be aware of the fact that if a demon comes right up to you and starts to put his little slithering tail around your neck, that you have not got to be afraid of him, right? No, don't be afraid of the devil. Make sure you're walking in obedience to God's word. In fact, we're going to go to Colossians, and we're going to all King James today. But as we go to the King James Bible, I want to go to Colossians 1:12. That's where I want to start. Colossians 1:12. And I want you to see what he's just done for us here. 1:12. What he says there, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us fit to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. That's a pretty awesome statement. That's why he told us to give him thanks for what he's done. Giving thanks unto the Father, verse 13, 14, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Right here, he's talking about hell. You know, he's delivered us from the power of darkness. The power of darkness, that's Satan and his host of demons. And of course, I know we don't even want to think about this, but when we were born on this earth, we were children of the devil and children of darkness. We were all born into the kingdom of hell, you might say. Nobody, because we were all, because of sin, because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, we fell from that wonderful place that we were with God, back under the law completely and totally. And Satan has become the god of this world. He is in charge of this world. He's in charge of everything. And on this earth, he is the god of this world. And until we came to Jesus 2,000 years ago, man had no power over the devil. I mean, we didn't have no power over that beast. He had power over us, and that's why he beat up on us. So when we got an opportunity to come to Jesus, he says, when we accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, now verse 13, he says, he delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. Now then, if we only believe that. It took me a long time as a son of God, a child of the King. It took me a long time to realize that I was a child of darkness. I couldn't picture that. That I was literally an unbelieving person and I was in the kingdom of darkness and Satan was able to do anything he wanted to do to me. He could blind my eyes. He could do all kinds of things. And I was a child of the devil and not a child of God. But we are all fit into that category. But when you finally get saved, and of course that took me, God had to reveal that to me, how that he has given us all power over the devil and that we can kick the devil out. And that's when I made that teaching on how to get a lost person saved. In fact, one day I asked the Lord, there was a man that I knew he didn't know God. And as I'm talking to the Lord about this man, I said, Lord, I'll just use Brother Bob. I said, Lord, Brother Bob, I have prayed for him. I've done everything I know to do for him. I have asked you to save him. And I don't understand why you have not saved him. I said, Lord, I just don't understand. Since I've asked you, I don't understand. And he said, son, That's what I've been trying to do all of his life, to save him. What did I hear? It couldn't have been correct. I'm praying and talking to God. And supposedly God answers me back and says, when I said, Lord, I've asked you to save Brother Bob and you've not saved him, why? But then when I hear this voice say, I've been trying to save him all his life, but he won't listen. Now, I thought, now, Lord, this don't make no sense at all. I mean, you're supposed to be able to do everything. Is that what God's supposed to be able to do? And I've been asking him to save Brother Bob, and God tells me it's what I've been trying to do, but I can't do it. I said, Lord, you're going to have to show me this one. I said, I do not understand this. I said, if you've been trying to save him and you can't save him, then why can you not save him? He took me to 2 Corinthians 4, 3 and 4. It says, if there's any lost on this earth, they're lost because the god of this world, who is that? The devil has blinded their mind to the truth. Otherwise, they'd hear the gospel and get saved.
That's right.
Is that what the scripture says?
That's right.
So I thought, wow, that's awesome. Lord, I've read that and read that. I never got understanding. You can understand after you begin to read the Word of God, and you can understand. And the other day I made this statement. I said, you know, with what I've been trying to learn, some of the things I'm trying to learn, I said, I'm going over this over and over and over, and I'm not getting this. I said, so, you know, I know I'll go up to a guy. I have a guy that's a guy that loves God with all his heart, just like Jack. This is a true story about Jack. And he comes in here and he listens to me tell, in other words, he's got a back problem. For years he's had a back problem. And he comes in here and he sits down and he listens to me go through hours of teaching. Hours. And then he says, where do you get all that stuff? I've been in church all my life, Thurman, in this sin sickness thing. I've never got connection with this. I've never seen it. And me and him was driving down the road in the car. He said, you're going to have to make this clearer to me. I thought to myself, how much clearer can I make it? I mean, I've been reading the Word, and it's just bouncing off right here. Wham! Right off. Both their heads. So this last couple of weeks, I've been trying to learn some new stuff, and it's stuff that I never knew. And I'm thinking, now I understand why these guys had so much trouble getting it. If I understand it, I've been teaching healing for 20 or 30 years, it's real simple for me. And I'm thinking, why can't you get that? You see what I mean? But since both these guys are sitting here together, when I finally got through to them and taught them what the Word says and showed them the Scriptures, just like Andy, he couldn't sleep when he first came here. He repented of his sin. We prayed one prayer, and he's been able to sleep like a jewel ever since. Jack was down in his back. He couldn't get healed. I showed him how to do it. He finally got it, and he repented of his sins. We prayed the prayer of faith for him, and God completely healed him, and he ain't had a back pain since. So it's all a matter of listening and going over it over and over and over and over, right? So that's what's wrong with me. I'm listening. I'm reading the Word, but I'm failing to do one thing. I'm not going to the Master and saying, Lord, I got to have your help. I don't get this, Lord. I'm reading this. Hey, I've read 2 Corinthians 4, 3, and 4. No telling how many times.
2 Corinthians 4:4.
Okay, 2 Corinthians 4, 4. And it reads something like, if there's any lost on this earth, they're lost because the god of this world has blinded their mind and to the truth. Otherwise, they're going to hear and they're going to get saved, right? So I thought to myself, when I look at this, I think, God, that's why they can't get saved. Now I see for the first time in my life, I see that the reason people won't accept it, you know, and it was always a question to me. I run up to a wonderful woman like this and say, you know, do you know Jesus? No, I don't know Jesus. I don't know how to go to church. I said, let me tell you about the best thing ever happened to me. And I tell her all about Jesus and the streets of gold and all this stuff. And I said, now, wouldn't you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? She said, no, I'm not interested. And she walks off. And I think, what is wrong with this stupid woman? I mean, y'all can understand why I'm thinking like this, right? You think, what is wrong with this person? Well, when I found that scripture over there in 2 Corinthians 4, that if there's any loss, well, how many of us were lost? All of us. There ain't nobody looking for Jesus. We're all born into his kingdom. And the first thing he does is come to you and blind your mind.
Yep.
He blinds your mind and he blinds your mind. And now you can't see the truth. So when I come to you and tell you the truth of God's word, and I think, wow, if I were to come up to them and say, you know, Miss Kim, Have you ever been to Hawaii? She said, oh, no, but I always wanted to go. I said, well, here's $5,000 cash money and an airplane ticket. Would you like to have it? No, no, I'm not interested. Are you kidding me? She would be jerking my arm off to get that money. Y'all understand? Now, is the trip to Hawaii not quite as good as the trip to heaven? In eternity with God? And she didn't want interest in that at all. But she'd take that ticket to Hawaii. Okay, so when you begin to see this, you think, okay, there's something really wrong here. Now then, are you beginning to see the picture? If you're a child of the devil, and were we all children of the devil? Yeah, so why is it that most people only get their children saved in the church? Because they don't know this. They pray for their children, and some of them raise children in their own home, and the children never get saved. They talk to them and pray for them. You have no idea how many mothers and daddies I have prayed for and prayed with that come and say, I only have one desire, and that's my children be saved. We had a lady the other day that come down here from Chicago to stand right here, and all she wanted me and Cheryl to do was pray that her children would get saved and get married. And so she made a special trip from Chicago. She said, I want you to pray because I know if you pray and you rebuke the devil, my children's going to get saved. And drove a woman come from Chicago to have me pray for her children, which I did, and which I believe God will save every one of them. Because I know God wants to save everybody. He said that in His Word. But if He can't do it, then there's got to be a problem. If God is trying to save them and they won't get saved, and He's trying, and that's what I've been trying to do, is save so-and-so, Brother Bob, for you, Thurman, but he won't listen. Why will he not listen, Lord? Because his eyes are blinded by the God of this world. So he said, now I told you, the scripture in Luke chapter 10, verse 19 and 20, what you could do. Did he tell us? So if you've got somebody that's lost and you know his eyes are blinded by the God of this world and you want to get him delivered from that nonsense and translated into the kingdom of light, because I hope that's where every one of us in this room are today. Amen. I hope every one of you have been delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light. Now then, the way I can tell is the fruit that you bear. If you're living with somebody you ain't married to, either you don't know Jesus or you don't know the same one I'm studying about. Well, the one I'm studying about, if you don't walk in any kind of power with God, there's something wrong. You know, because God wants to do good things for us, His children, does He not? Yeah, I got tickled at Miss Jackie the other day when she said something about that wind turbine on the roof. When she said it's leaning over, I said, well, it's probably just got one screw left. I said, when they did something with the roof, they didn't put the screws back in it. I said, it needs at least three screws. One every 120 degrees all the way around, so it'll stay there, and so it'll sit there and spin and do what it's supposed to do. And so now she's got a little knowledge, so she goes and prays and asks the Lord, and the Lord sends her next door neighbor, and she gets the thing all fixed up and put on, and it's working perfect. A little knowledge is a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a really wonderful thing. But here we are, we got Brother Bob or Susie or Janie or whoever it is, people we love. And how many of you have people that you love that will not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? All of us have got people like that. You know, when you learn these principles that I put in How to Get a Lost Person Saved on the CD, the DVD, and the book, if you'll take the time to read that book and you'll take the time to listen to those CDs, I guarantee you can get your lost loved one saved. Now, and because if you've been given all power and all authority, and is that what Luke 10, 19, and 20 says? Behold, I give unto you what? I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, or Satan and his host of demons. All power is given to you over them. How much? So how much does he have over you? None. So then when you kick him out, when you learn you have that kind of power and authority, that way you want to see your loved ones delivered, from, just like Colossians 1 says. You want to see everybody, and anybody in his right mind would want to be delivered from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light, the kingdom of heaven. Would they not? Yeah, if they don't do that, you know, their minds are really blinded. But he does a good job. I mean, he is the God of this world, is he not? He's in charge of this world. I mean, Satan We really messed up when we gave him our dominion, our authority in the Garden of Eden. But he was sly there. Did he say something in there like, you know, did God really say? Is that what he said? Did God really say? Yeah, he's slick, isn't he? You got to really be on your toes. Either that or just think of the multitudes of people that he has blinded their mind and they're going through this thing on earth. Their eyes are blinded and people are praying for them. Oh, God, please save my son. Please save my daughter. And he's over there saying, that's what I want to do, but I can't go beyond what I wrote in my book. I told you that Satan has blinded their mind. I showed it to you in the scripture. Now, I've told you how much power and authority I've given you. You walk holy before me. The devil can't touch you. Now then, if you do something in faith, I guarantee I'll do something. So you say, okay, Father, I got it in the name of Jesus. Satan, I realize that I have got a power and authority over you. Now, in fact, I had somebody wrote me a letter, an email the other day and told me, I can't believe when you said you were driving down the road in your pickup when that guy was lost, you called Satan in to sit down in the seat beside you and said, who do you think you are? I said, I happen to be a son of God. That's who I happen to be. I'm a joint heir with Jesus, and he's given me all power and all authority, and the devil's got to be subject to me, and I believe every one of those words in that scripture. So I said, I'm driving down the road, and I got this guy that's, when I asked him, I said, would you like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I wouldn't even begin to tell you the line of, no. Blankety blank blank, no, I ain't no Christian, blankety blank, no, I don't want to hear nothing about this blankety blank Jesus. Woo! I said, did you tell me your name was so-and-so? He said, yes, but what has that got to do with it? I said, I want to make sure I got your name right because I'm going to the throne of God and I'm going to pray for you. Don't you pray for me. I don't want to get saved. I don't want nothing to do with Jesus. Now, who's that sound like talking out of his mouth? That's the devil completely right there. So I mean to tell you, whenever I was living out here in this house, I got up that morning and I started to work. And I said, Father, I just praised him and worshiped him and thanked him for all these scriptures that he's given me. And how the power that he's given us as sons and daughters of God. And I praise him and thank him that I'm a son of God. Are you sons and daughters?
Yes.
And all power is given to you just like it is me. You know, so I said, Satan, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to catch myself up into the throne room of God. And then Satan, since I'm driving my truck and I'm going to work, I command you to come down and sit right there in my seat, right there, fried seat, right beside me. I said, now you devil of hell, I know you're the God of this world. And I know the scripture says you've been blinding this man's mind all these years. Here he is 50 years old. He's not only lost, but he's sick and afflicted. He's got all kinds of things wrong with him. Well, Satan, I'm serving notice on you. I am commanding you in the name of Jesus to get out of this man's life, to stop blinding his mind to the word of God. Do you hear me? See, you don't treat the devil gently. You don't say, oh, Mr. Devil, would you please, if you mind, don't mind, would you please leave him alone? No, he'll laugh at you. So you get rid of that devil. You kick that devil out in the name of Jesus. Now, after you kick him out, now then you've been given all power and all authority over him. And he has to be subject to you. So when you tell the devil what he's got to do, you tell him he's got to stop blinding the mind of this man. Call the man's full name or woman, whoever it is. You know, don't cut it short. And then when you get through with that, then you say, devil, in the name of Jesus, you will leave him alone. You will not blind his mind anymore. Now then, everything we've done, does it line up with scripture?
Yes.
Yes, it's exactly what God says. And so then I say, now, Lord, you said in John 6:44, that no man can come into the kingdom of God except you draw them by the Spirit. Is that what he said? No man can come into the kingdom except the Lord draw him. Then if you're a son or a daughter of God, can you go directly into the throne room of God boldly and say, Father, I need your help?
Yes,
he told us to come boldly into the throne room and tell me what you want. So Lord, I come boldly into the throne room of God now that I've kicked the devil out, commanded him to get his hands off my friend, stop blinding his mind. Now, Father, you said that nobody can get saved except you draw them by the Spirit. So, Father, since I'm your son, I'm asking you to save John Doe. Save him from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet. Fill him with the Holy Spirit and power. But, Lord, I claim John Doe's spirit, soul, and body for you in service under your kingdom forever. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you. It's done. Now then, that's what God wanted you to do all that time. Here we've been over here begging, oh God, will you please save John? He says, I want to save him. That's not the issue. The devil's got his mind blinded. I told you, you got to kick him out. You got to command him to stop. Then you have to petition me to do what you want me to do. I have limited the souls of man on the earth through your prayers. So if you and me don't pray, guess what we get?
Nothing.
Nothing. And if we don't pray in faith, and many of us don't, oh God, Lord, one thing about it, I'm a woman and I've got breast cancer. I've heard Thurman teach about this for years, and I made a statement that if I ever got breast cancer, I would make sure I repent of my sin, but I would never let them give me chemo and radiation. Never. Well, that example just happened. A woman that I know just been diagnosed this last week with breast cancer. She's a great woman of God, and that woman turned her back on God. And she's in that hospital. They said, you got to start chemo and radiation immediately. And she immediately fell to it, and they're going to start doing chemo and radiation. And she said, and if that don't do it, then they'll just have to cut off my breasts. I thought, you know what? The Word of God. What is wrong with us? As sons and daughters of God. What is wrong with us? Why do we not believe this awesome book? Or why is it that as soon as you get a test, and God will put a test on you, as soon as you're tested, why do we fall? Why do we forget who we are? Because you know we do that. You know, it don't take nothing. The devil, when the devil comes to us, he puts a pain or a symptom upon us, we just fall by the wayside. Instead of fighting, that's just like the night. It's been several years ago when I used to have trouble with my left leg. One day my left leg, I woke up, my left leg was kind of burning, on fire. I woke up that morning and I kind of slid off the side of the bed and put my foot down and turned the light on, and that's not normal. I normally don't turn the light on. Cheryl said, something wrong with you? I said, yeah. I said, I got my legs all broke out today. Looks like that blood clot's back again. Oh my goodness, she jumped up, turned on all the lights, she checked me, she said, oh my goodness, I'm going to pray over you and anoint you with oil and all this good stuff. And so she did. I said, I have no problem with you anointing me with oil and praying a prayer of faith for me. Praise God, I'm glad I got a wife that'll do something like that. And so anyway, she praised the Lord and anointed me with oil and everything. She said, now then, get back in that bed, put your head up here and put your feet, I'm going to elevate your feet 6 inches, and you're going to stay in bed all day today. I said, no, I'm not, woman. I'm going to work. He said, but honey, what if that blood clot turns loose? Do you see now here for a few seconds how she's dropped completely out of the spirit and dropped back into the flesh? Why? I said, why do you want me to do this? She said, well, if that blood clot was to turn loose, it might kill you, and I'm not ready to give up my husband. I said, those are the wrong thoughts. I said, you ain't going to give up your husband. Your husband's going to win this thing by faith. I said, did you pray for me in faith? She said, I did. I said, well, I know you're a woman of faith, and so I know you know how to do that. So I said, if you prayed for me in faith, I'm healed. What does healed people do? They go to work. What do sick people do? They stay in bed. So I got up and she said, but honey, I said, no, look there, woman. You don't want me to have to get rough with you. You know, you don't want me to have to get rough with you. So she said, okay, honey, but this is so difficult. I said, yes, it is. It's not easy, is it, Mary? It's not easy. To walk in faith is not easy. It requires some action. And so anyway, I got up, I put my clothes on, and I went to work. And that day was 100 degrees, and I was outside, and I was up on top of a building. We were putting some tin on the building. And when I finally got through that afternoon, I come home. When I walked in the door, Cheryl grabbed me. She said, how's your leg? I said, well, I guess it's still down there. I'm still walking. I guess it hadn't fell off yet. And she said, can I look at it? And I said, well, sure. So I went over there and sat down. She pulled my britches leg up and she said, it looks like a brand new leg. I said, if I had stayed in bed, guess what? It wouldn't have been a brand new leg. I don't know how long it would have taken. I might have never got healed. I don't know. But by stepping into faith, you know, when you step into faith and believe God, you got to act like God's really real. And that's where we get in trouble. We don't act like God is real. I mean, we act like our flesh is real because we yield to it really quick. But anyway, when that, just like that man, just like the scripture says, he, in Colossians 1, He clearly says that when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, we're translated, we're delivered from the kingdom of darkness. And you know, you don't like to think about yourself being in the kingdom of darkness, do you? But were we? Yeah, every one of us. I don't care who you were. Every one of us were in the kingdom of darkness, and our minds were blinded because of the god of this world. I just think it took my mother and dad 11 years to pray me out of that kingdom because they didn't know how to do it. I mean, but they stayed with it. And, you know, some people, they get 20, 25, 30 years old before. And some people go their whole life raised up in a great Christian home. Some of them with a daddy as a pastor. And still, they have no idea how to get the devil off of your back. But if you don't know this, you know, you can pray for somebody, oh God, please save so-and-so. And that's what he's trying to do. But it ain't never going to happen until you do something according to what he says. If they're any lost, they're lost because who? This god of this world has blinded their mind to the truth. Otherwise, they would get saved, right? And so when you take authority over that devil, just like I did, every morning for probably 2 or 3 weeks, I mean, every morning I prayed the same thing. I mean, sometimes you don't get it done the first time. I mean, here a while back, Cheryl and I was up here, and there was a little 10-year-old boy come right up here, and Cheryl called him up here. His grandmother and grandfather were here with him, and they called that little boy up at a healing school, and I knelt down right on my knees right here in front of him. And I said, son, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? No. I said, would you like to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? No. Now, does that sound unusual? No. I mean, a 10-year-old, his mind's blinded by the god of this world. What else would he say? Sure, no, I'm not interested. I mean, I'm a child of the devil. I'm okay. I've been doing what I want to do. I like what I'm doing. And, you know, I give mom, grandma, and granddad all hell on earth here. You know, they won't beat me or nothing. So I just get by with anything I want to do. You know, so he's perfectly happy. Grandma and granddad had told me all these things. So I just sat there and I reached up and put my hands on his shoulders. And he turned and looked me right in the eye and I said, Satan, I have all authority over you. I know you're blinding this little boy's mind to the word of God. So I am commanding and demanding that you get out of him and stop blinding his mind by the word of God. I command it in Jesus' name. I said, now, Father, I ask you to convict that little boy of sin. Bring him into the kingdom of God and gloriously save him. Fill him with the Holy Ghost. I said, now, son, how would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? He said, I'd love it. Now, was that hard? Was God trying to save the little boy all the time? Yes, why didn't he? He couldn't because his eyes were being blinded by the god of this world. Was he in the kingdom of darkness? Yes. So what do we got to do? We, as Christians, have got to take authority over these spirits and kick them out. I mean, is it difficult for you to kick out a devil when you got all power and all authority over him? But you know, sometimes the devil doesn't leave easy. I mean, I've just like that man, that 50-year-old man, he had been so blinded by the god of this world so many years, and he had problem with his arms and his all kinds of issues. Back, he had all kinds of issues. So every day I prayed for that man. I called Satan in my truck every morning. I said, Satan, come in, sit down right there, and I have a word for you. One more time, I'm going to command you and demand that you stop blinding Larry's mind to the word of God. And so after doing that for 2 or 3 weeks, and every day, I'd ask the Lord to save him and convict him of sin and all that kind of stuff. And I'd praise him and thank him and worship him. I'd do the same thing and pray the same prayer every day for about 3 weeks. I went into my workplace one morning. I got there and he was still there. He was a night shift worker. And he usually went home about 6. Well, I was probably about 6:30 when I got there that morning. So I went in my office and Larry walked in my office. And he said, by the way, Thurman, where do you go to church? This is a guy that blew up when I said something about Jesus. I said, well, I go to the First Baptist Church in Justin. And he began to ask, well, what do you think about so-and-so? I said, well, he's a man of God, but he made a few mistakes. What do you think about this other guy? And I said, well, he's a man of God too, but he made a few mistakes. But I said, God's big enough to take care of his boys. You know, I said, it's not a problem. And he said, don't you think most people are preachers just because they want to get rich? That's before I became a preacher. I told him, I said, you know, it costs lots of money to run the kingdom of God. I said, we've got buildings to take care of and ministry needs and people have to be paid and all kinds of stuff. I said, so no, I don't think preachers, I said, there may be a lot of preachers at big churches that do make a lot of money. But I said, I've been in a Baptist church all my life and I've never seen one that made a lot of money. So I said, most of them are just there because they love God with all their heart. And then when he said that, I said, you know, you'll listen to that lie. And one day you'll die. I said, it is appointed unto every man who wants to die. I said, so one day you'll die. And when you do, Satan will send a couple of demons. And those demons will drag you in the spirit screaming into the pit of hell. And all the time they're going to be saying, you fool! You fool! The price has been paid. Paid in full. But we deceived you all your life. Now you're going to get to spend eternity in a lake of fire with us. You fool. And he jumped up, knocked his coffee over. He jumped up and he said, Thurman, I've heard that voice. I said, he said, what do I need to do? I said, you need to stop by Walmart this morning and buy you a Bible. I said, I don't have an extra one in here right now, but I said, you need to stop and get you one. I said, it wouldn't hurt to buy two or three different translations because you're brand new. I said, but you need to read a Bible. I said, and when you have a question, you come and ask me. And I said, I will talk to you. And I said, once you get enough of that word in you, I said, then we'll get you saved. So he started reading and he read Matthew and Mark and Luke and John. And Matthew was his favorite book. He read that and finally one day he called and said, Thurman, I got some questions about this book of Matthew. Can I come by and see you? I said, sure, come on by. He come by, we sat down, we're talking. And then we got over to Romans chapter 10. He said, I sure don't get this. This is so simple. It says, if I'll just confess with my mouth Jesus is Lord, and I believe in my heart God raised him from the dead, I'll be saved. I said, that's exactly what it means. He said, Thurman, nothing could be that simple. I said, but God didn't make it hard, did he? He made it so simple so that anybody except those that their mind are blinded by the God of this world, then they can't get it. But see, every morning I'd been kicking the devil out of him and asking the Lord to convict him of sin. He's doing it. So he said, you mean to tell me all I got to do is just say, Lord, I believe that you died for me and he'll save me? I said, that's how simple it is. And I said, would you like to get saved? He said, I do. I would. Now, this is the man that told me, don't you ever talk to me again about Jesus. This is the one that cussed me out. Oh, boy, did he ever cuss me out. But now then he's there asking me how to get saved. Now then. See, I got him saved, and then over the next 6 months or so, his arm, which he'd had a problem with his arm for years, and he had one of them fixed with a surgery, and he said, I ain't going to have the other one fixed because it was so painful. I said, well, you know, you're a son of the king now. We can get you healed now. We can do what? And so I began to show him about the promises of God. So we got him healed, and his arm was fixed. And then he had a back problem, and we got his back fixed. Now then, he's healed, he's saved, and he's healed, and everything. Because he finally run into a man that had read the Word of God and believed the Word of God. But see, that's why I'm standing here before each one of you today. When I ask how many of you got loved ones that's lost, you know, there was nearly every pew had two or three hands going up. You know that? You all have people that are lost. Well, do you have the same power I have? Yes, yes you do. If you quote these scriptures just like we quoted them, you'll get to see God deliver them from the kingdom of darkness and translate them into the kingdom of light. Now then, when they get delivered from the kingdom of darkness and translated into the kingdom of light, when they really get saved, everything in the way you think and everything else will begin to change, won't it? Because God gives you a new mind. He gives you a new brain. Everything. When he translates you out of the kingdom of darkness, puts you into the kingdom of light. And then when you learn Paul's prayers in Ephesians 1 and 3, Father, in Jesus' name, give these people wisdom, knowledge, revelation, and understanding of my mighty word. So if you ask God to get, since God is a faith God, God is a God that answers prayer, God is a God that does everything in answer to the spoken word of God and to prayer, if you ask him to begin to move on the hearts of people and say, Lord, begin to move on Scott's heart. Lord, Scott's a brand new, and he's not a brand new one, but Scott's a brand new believer. He just come to know Jesus. He don't know nothing about God. So I'm asking you, Father, in Jesus' name, to open Scott's heart and his mind to the scripture so that when he reads that, him and his wife together, you'll begin to give them revelation and wisdom, and they'll begin to understand the Word of God like they've never understood it before. In Jesus' name, Lord, thank you for doing it. Guess what God's going to do for Scott? He's going to give him that revelation. All of a sudden, he's going to be in the Word one day and say, honey, do you know right here says Matthew 18:19, if two of us on earth agree about anything, I never knew that was in the Bible. Why did he get it today when he didn't get it before? Because of prayer. Somebody prayed. And you guess what? Most of us are too busy to pray. We're too locked up in every, and men especially. Men, they think the only thing God put them here on this earth is to make money. You know, I'm telling you the truth. So many men, you know, like my buddy back there a while ago, he loves to fish. I bet you if I were to say, hey, let's go fishing, he'd never turn me down. You know that? But now I think he's also about the same point now where if I ask him to witness with me, he wouldn't turn me down there either. But you know, there was a time in his life when he wouldn't. Isn't that the way it is? I ask you, do you want to come to church next Sunday? Oh, well, Thurman, I got this to do. I got this to do, or I got that to do. I don't have time to come to church. Well, I'll teach you how to get a lost person saved. Well, I don't have time. Don't you care about these people? Oh, yeah, yeah. No, if God wants them saved, he'll save them. If he don't, he won't. You ever heard people talk like that? No, the reason it didn't happen because you wasn't praying. When you pray, when you learn to pray like that, then you'll get to see these kind of things just like the Lord said there. You will get to see him deliver. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Wow. Just think. So if we were to make a good effort until I learned this principle, I can't even begin to tell you how many people I prayed for. Just like I told Marcus the other day when we were talking about demons. This was on another program we did in 98. This was a long time ago. But he knew I'd gotten into the world of demons. Him and Joni wanted me to come down and talk with him on the air for an hour about demons. So I went down there and he asked me about some of these things, how it happened. And I told him, I said, you know, I was out of town. My wife and I was out of town 1 year. And I had really been praying for this guy's salvation. He was an older guy. I knew he was getting up in his 60s. And of course, I knew that a lot of people died in their 60s and 70s. And so I knew he was definitely not a believer. He never went to church in his life, never. So I love this old guy. I used to work on his truck for him when I worked at the Chevrolet house down at Goldsway. And he was a really nice old guy, but he you know, he's always crude, you know, he just ain't nothing about saying GD or SOB or, you know, that's just the way he talked. So I knew he wasn't saved. So anyway, we went to church there. We were going down to see Mom and Dad one Sunday, and we stopped at this little country church about 11 o'clock. And if you want to go to a Baptist church, you always get there about 5 minutes to 11, and you won't miss nothing. You know, so that's 11 till 12, and you can be assured at 12:05 you're out of there and gone home. You know, that's just the way they do things. And so anyway, we stopped this little country church, probably wasn't 30 people there. While we're sitting there, I heard the Lord say, son, I want you to go see John Doe. That's the guy I've been praying for. That's the guy I'd been kicking the devil out of. That's the guy I'd been standing on the promises of God for. And so I said, okay, I sat in there. And about 5 or 10 minutes later, the Lord says, son, after the service, I want you to go see John Doe. I said, okay, Lord, okay. Well, about 5 minutes later, so in the next 30 minutes, 4 times, the Lord spoke to me audibly, 4 times. Now, son, when the service is over today, I want you to go see John Doe. Now, he's told me 4 times. What do you think he's wanting me to do, Mary? I'm supposed to go, right? Yeah, I got that. And so I told my wife, I said, honey, you take the kids and go on down to Mom and Dad's house. I'd met her there in my car. We come down in 2 cars. I had come down later. She had been up her mother's house. So now then she's at church, and we were going down to see Mother and Dad. And so I told her, I said, you take the kids and go on down. I have got to go see a man. And she said, what is this all about? I said, this is private between me and God. I said, I have to go see this man. I said, the Lord told me 4 times sitting there in that pew to go see him. I said, I don't really know what he's going to do, but all he said was go see John Doe. 4 times he told me that. So what do you think he wants me to do? Go do something. Now, he didn't tell me a whole lot, but he told me to go see him. So And on the way down there, I remember your awesome man of faith and power.
Lord.
It's Sunday afternoon. You know, this old dude, he'll be down at the coffee shop or something. And he won't be at home. Now, isn't that crazy? That you would argue with God? But did we do that? Yeah, well, unfortunately we do. So I almost talked myself out of it, but I went. And when I got there and knocked on the door and the door opened, and there he was, lo and behold, on the other side of the screen. He said, oh, Thurman. He knew me well. I used to work on his truck for him down at the Chevrolet house. He knew me really well. He said, what are you doing here? I said, well, sir, I come by today to talk to you about Jesus. He stood there for a minute and he said, you know, there ain't a preacher in this town, not one. If they were to come down here and say they want to talk to me about Jesus, I'd kick their rear end plumb off the place. But he said, you hadn't been like the rest of them. He said, you've never drank, you've never smoked, you've never run around with a wild girl. You've never done any of them dumb things like the average boy did. He says, come on in, I'll listen to what you have to say. Now, wonder why God sent me. He knew of all the men in Goldwood, I was probably the only man that old man would listen to. God had knew what I had done, and he knows everything. So I went over there and sat down in my chair right here. And he was sitting in a chair over there looking this way, and I'm sitting here looking at the wall this way, because that's where the chairs were arranged. I sat down in that chair, and I'm thinking, oh, God, what do I do? I mean, he just told me to come to see him, and I'm here now, but he didn't give me any further instructions. You know, I've always been an instructions man. I need to tell me where to go, what address to go to, what to do when I get there. But I didn't know, and he didn't tell me. And so I'm sitting there, and I think, Lord, what do I do? I did ask that, quiet, nice, quiet, silently. I said, Lord, what do I do? And I laid my Bible on my lap, and it fell open to John 1. Now, I'm going to tell you something. In 1998, which was many years after this happened with that man, the day I was on the Joni and Marcus show down there, I was telling Marcus this story when I laid my Bible down and said, I asked the Lord, and it opened to John 1:1. And when I opened it, I turned and looked and I said, my God, it opened to John 1:1 again today. Now, what do you think the chances of that are? It's just zero, you know, but God, it's just awesome. So anyway, I sat there and looked at that a minute and I said, I didn't know what to do. So I just started John 1:1 and started reading. I said, I read one chapter, John chapter 1. Verse 1 to the end of the chapter. And I turned and looked, and when I did, I looked over there. That man was sitting there looking at me, and I saw my first demon manifest in a human being. His eyes were green. I never saw anything like this. And his face was clenched like that. You know, there's no way I could make my jaw do what his was doing. And it scared the socks off me because I didn't know much. God was having to train me. You know, he's got to teach you somehow, right? And I didn't have a clue what I was doing. I mean, I'm totally there. And when I look up at this guy and I see him with that green eyes, I mean, they're just gleaming green. I've never seen another human in my life with green, but those were bright green. And I've never seen a man with his face. Of course, since then, I've seen several people that manifest demons with their faces do all kinds of contorted things. But when I looked at him, it so scared me, I wanted to jump up and run. Really? I mean, you know, you got to understand where I'm coming from. I know nothing. You know, I don't know nothing. It'd be just like if you were to send me out to fix one of these new cars today that I've never even raised the hood on. I don't even know how to find the sticker on them things no more. I don't know how to do nothing on a car today. They've changed so much, but you got to stay with it. But at least when I looked at that guy and it so petrified me, I just turned back around and looked, and I started verse 2 and I started reading, and I read another chapter. When I read another chapter, I kind of looked up to see, and he was better. He wasn't quite as bad as he was. I'm thinking, praise God. I don't know what's going on here, but praise God. And so I went back to the book and I read a third chapter. I got through with John 3 and I looked and he's almost normal. I'm thinking, why, the word has great power. And we know it does, don't we? And so I went back and I read chapter 4. When I got through with chapter 4, I looked at him again and he was normal. He was normal. And I thought, wow. I said, God, I never saw anything like this in my life. And so then I told him, you know, the Lord sent me here and wanted me to talk to you about Jesus. I said, you know, I just read you about him in these first four chapters of the book of John. I said, would you like to make Jesus Lord of your life? I didn't know what else to do. And he says, well, he said, Thurman, you have certainly given me something to think about. But he said, I don't think I want to do it right now, but I want to think about it. And I said, okay. I said, so you'll think about it. He said, yeah. So when I left, I got up and left, shook his hand and told him how much I appreciated and let me come. He said, well, it's really been a nice conversation. I really enjoyed it. So he said, come back to see me anytime you want to. I said, okay. So I went out and I got in my car and said, Lord, thank you, Lord, for sending me here. I don't know. He didn't get saved, but I know you got a plan and I know you're going to follow through with this thing. I know somehow you're going to save him because I have went there and I've kicked the devil out of him. I really didn't know what I was doing, but I kicked the devil out of him. Then I read the word of God to him, and the word of God is powerful.
Amen.
It is powerful. And so I went home praising the Lord, went down to mom and dad's. Of course, when I got there, I had to tell them about what I'd seen and everything because it was such a unique thing. And I was praising the Lord and everything. And then we went back home, and probably 3 months or 4 months later, somebody from down in that area that knew me real well and knew how I used to love this man, because I was always kidding him when I worked on his car and everything and everything. They called me and said, Thurman, this man that you knew, so-and-so, he was up in the little cafe this morning, Sunday morning, having a cup of coffee, and he just fell off the stool dead. Wow. I said, he's dead? They said, yeah, he died. I said, okay. So I thought, well, I so like this old man. I said, I'll just take off and go back, take a day off and go to his funeral. So I found out when the funeral was going to be. And when I got there, there was a lady came up to me and she said, Thurman, John Doe told me that you come by, told me and my husband. Now, her husband was a Baptist deacon in a Baptist church. He had never shared Jesus with this man. Now, why do we do that? Why we, as sons and daughters of God, and you got somebody that you love, that you like to hang out with, and you never even pray for them or talk to them about Jesus. Why do we do that? I guess we just don't know what to do. That's the only thing I can think of. So anyway, when I went to the funeral, after the funeral was over and after we buried him and everything, I went out to get in my car, and this wife of this deacon that was really his good friend, they raised cattle together and everything. She come up to me and said, Thurman, John was not saved. I said, yes, I know. And I had prayed for him. And I said, I even, in fact, came to see him. She said, I know. That's what I want to tell you. Said, he came over and sat down and talked with me and my husband one day. I said, Thurman Scrivener come by and talk to me about Jesus. And she said, well, I asked him, well, what do you think about what he had to say? He said, you know, don't be surprised when you get to heaven if you'll find me there. I believe I'm going to be there. So anyway, that gave me a word of encouragement. And I thought, wow, God, I know now beyond a shadow of a doubt that after my prayers and what you had trained me, you sent me by there to lead him into the kingdom of God. I didn't get to see you bring him in that day, but in a few days he come under conviction. I know he did, because he would have never said what he did to that woman if he had not accepted Jesus. And I told him, I said, it's so simple. If you have any trouble, all you got to do is say, Jesus, save me. I said, all he says we got to do is call on the name of Jesus. You don't have to do anything fancy. Just say, Jesus, save me. And I said, I guarantee he'll save you and put you into the kingdom. And he'll do exactly what he said there, won't he? He will deliver you from the kingdom of darkness and translate you into the kingdom of light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of all of our sins. Just think. Think of the Christians, and you, I'm sure you're just thinking just like I am. Think of the people that go to church that know that they know that they know Jesus and are just like I was for many years of my life. I never led a single person to Christ. You know, I don't even want you to hold up your hand, but I hope you're not there. But I was. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was a deacon in the Baptist church. I went to church every time the door was opened. I worked on the church buses. I kept the whole fleet running by myself. You know, I visited. There wasn't nobody come to Lakeland Baptist Church that had come to visit that within the next week, at least a week. I didn't go see them and talk to them about Jesus. But all those people were all already saved. You know, I didn't have to worry about leading them into the kingdom. They were already saved. It was the pastor's job to get people saved. It's just my job to kind of follow up. And that's the way I thought. I never dreamed about getting out there and saving the lost world. I never dreamed that it would be possible to kick out demons and see people get saved. I had no idea. Because, you know, when you want to tell somebody about Jesus and they're not interested at all, you think, well, I don't know what the deal is here. And I didn't know. But I do know now. And I know what you can do. And if you've got somebody that's lost and you don't have a copy of How to Get a Lost Person Saved, you need to take that CD or that DVD. You need to listen to that thing over and over and over and over. You need to get a copy of one of those books back there, and you need to go through it until you've got every scripture memorized. You know every scripture we've talked about today. And you can get down on your knees before a holy God, and you can bring the devil in there, and you can praise and worship the Lord for a half hour or an hour. Just worship Him and praise Him and thank Him. And then begin to call the devil in and tell the devil that you happen to be a daughter or a son of God. And you ain't going to have my son or my daughter. In fact, Ms. Jackie, that movie we went to see, The War Room. I remember that girl, don't you? Oh, well, she said, she went back outside and said, Mr. Devil, this place is under new assignment. Now, you're not welcome here no more. Get out in the name of Jesus. And her husband was in a restaurant fixing to go to bed with another woman. And all of a sudden, he started throwing up and getting sick in his stomach. That was a great, did anybody see The War Room? Wasn't that a good movie? Now then, how much power and authority do you have over the devil?
All.
Oh, so you need to learn to pray like that woman did. I mean, if she hadn't been praying, she'd have lost her husband. I mean, he was on the way down, on the way out. And she just got in there, and I'll never forget that when she said, Mr. Devil, this thing's under new management, and you're out, and I'm in the name of Jesus. You have no power over me. I thought, wow, this is a great movie. You know, well, this was what she said, scriptural?
Yes.
Had God given us all power and all authority over the enemy?
Yes.
So why do we not do these things? Why do we not kick out people, devils in people? Why do we not do that? Good question, isn't it? I guess, but like I was. I was a deacon and a Sunday school teacher and everything else. I never got nobody saved. You know, I'd go visit them, try to get them to church, but I really never thought about getting them saved or healed. I'd had no idea that God would use me to do something like that until He began to train me. And then one day when He began to train me and show me these things, and it was slow in the process, just like that day with that guy sitting there with that demon. If you ain't never looked up and seen a demon in somebody and they're glaring at you, has anybody in here ever experienced looking at a demon? Okay, so some of you have. So you know what I'm talking about, don't you? When you look up and you see that devil, you can tell he's there, can't you, Michael? Yeah, you can tell he's there. And just always remember, when you see him, he's going to do everything he can to deceive you. But all you got to remember is who you are in Christ. You are in Christ, and Christ is in you, and you have been given all power and all authority over the devil. So he cannot touch you. Oh, but he, you know, when that beast, when he runs at you like he did, like he does so many people, when we get our something hurt, arm hurt, leg hurt, anything, that little voice is always pounding you. You need to go to the doctor. Do y'all know what I mean? You've heard him. And the Lord said, all you need to do is, what Dave read that scripture a while ago? Do we just need to trust the Lord, wait on the Lord? Hey, yeah, all we need to do is wait on God and trust Him, and He'll take care of it. But you know, we want to help Him along the way, don't we? Oh, man. Wow. It's amazing how fast, when you're having fun, how fast an hour goes by. You know that? Wow. Father, in the name of Jesus, I praise You and thank You for this fun that we have had in Your Word. Lord, I thank You for these wonderful promises You've given to us. I thank You, Lord, that You've given us power to kick out the devils. We've given us power to come to You and ask You to save people and to send the Holy Ghost to convict them of sin. And You're just waiting to do that because You said in Your Word, you are there to get every person on this earth saved. And this is your desire to save every human being. So, Lord, we know if they're not getting saved, the problem's not with you, the problem with us. So, Lord, help us to get rid of that unbelief and help us to pray the prayers of faith and to kick the devil out so you can move, so we can start seeing people get saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. And, Lord, I thank you for saving every one of the people that held their hand up today. As they begin to get in the Word and they begin to go over these promises, that they'll take a copy of this book and these CDs home with them. They will listen to them. And then as they pray for their loved ones, whether it be children or aunts, uncles, mother, father, whoever, that you will gloriously save them all. And I thank you and praise you for doing it for all of them, Father. Thank you for blessing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord.